We celebrate Good Friday, Jesus' passion and his death. And we're mindful that this, took place on Friday, the 14th day of Nisan, which at that date, it would have been 33 A.D., April 3rd of 33 A.D. And Jesus, of course, goes through many various sufferings and trials during his passion. Many sufferings. Certainly crucifixion was a horrible, horrible way to die. It might not be a worse way to die. But Jesus went through all this, all these sufferings, really he wanted to save us. He wanted to show us how much he loves us. And I just want to bring out everything was profound that Jesus did, but one of the things that I just want to focus on is about how Jesus is there and he's crucified, and there's two revolutionaries, individuals that are crucified on either side of him. One on his right and the other on his left. So if you think about it, why is he in between two revolutionaries? If you listen to John's gospel, it's interesting. You know that Barabbas, the one who was freed? Did you catch that? He was a revolutionary. So he was freed. Was he going to be crucified instead of Jesus that day? Or what was going on? But rather, Jesus, the crowd says, crucify Jesus. They don't release Jesus. Rather, they release Barabbas. And it's Jesus who goes and he's taking the place. He himself, it seems, appears to be, in their eyes, a revolutionary. And that seems to be the case, because the Pharisees and the scribes and the people, at least some of the Jews, he was a threat. He was a threat to them. And Pilate, too, was concerned about Jesus, because it seems Pilate's like, hey, he's innocent. He's not guilty. I don't find any guilt in him. And finally, Pilate, I think, is kind of realizing that a riot may break out. Jesus might actually stir up a riot and cause a revolution. So it's kind of interesting how that happened. And then, you know, Jesus, he was a revolutionary from the sense that he wanted to come and share with us and share with the people at the time how they're called to follow in the ways of the Lord. At one point, Jesus says, I have not come to bring peace, but rather the sword, division. What Jesus has come to bring is he's come to bring the peace of God to us. And as a result of us being at peace, there may be divisions within families, you know, our friends. So there may be divisions. So you could say, well, Jesus, yeah, from that perspective, he's sort of a revolutionary. But he's revolutionary in a good sense. He wants us to fight for the Lord, to follow the ways of the Lord. And then we're doing that. It's going to cause ruffles. It's going to cause waves in our culture. We're supposed to be salt for the earth. So Jesus is up on the cross and he's by these two revolutionaries. And it's interesting what the sequence of events happens. If you read Matthew and Mark's Gospels, it basically says that people were coming by, the scribes, the Pharisees, the soldiers, people, they were jeering at Jesus on the cross. If you saved others, why don't you save yourself? If you're the Messiah, come down from that cross. And even the revolutionaries, the one on either side of Jesus, if you read the Gospels carefully, they're doing the same. They were doing the same. And then what happens? Eventually, one of the revolutionaries, if you read Luke's Gospel, he says, basically, if you're the Messiah, why don't you come down from that cross if you're the Savior and Messiah? And then the other revolutionary, the good thief, says, do you not fear God? Why are you criticizing and attacking Jesus in this way? We deserve what we're getting. We are truly revolutionaries. And this Jesus is innocent. And then he says, Jesus, remember me when you enter your kingdom. And Jesus follows, "Amen, I say to you, this day you will be with me in paradise." Now you think about that. What happened? I thought the Gospels account that both these revolutionaries, the good and the bad thief, were reviling Jesus. They were abusing him with their language. What happened to that good thief suddenly? It was like he had a sudden change of heart. He was a converted on the cross. What happened? Well, I think this is one of the things about God's grace. God's grace is, it can be powerful. I mean, certainly we still have a choice. But God's grace can impact us. It can affect us. This is why, you know, it's so important for us to pray. Pray for those who are away from the church or, you know, not following in the ways of the Lord. Pray for them so that there may be conversion may happen. I wonder how much Jesus was praying up on that cross for both those revolutionaries, and certainly for the people there that were criticizing him, talking abusively about him. But the revolutionary, the good thief, changes. He accepts the grace of God. He is changed. He asks for forgiveness. And Jesus forgives him. You know, another thing that, you know, Jesus, of course, is he's very effective in how he approaches things. He's perfect. He's God. If you read the scriptures very carefully, when all this abusive language and criticizing of him happens, he doesn't say a word. Even when Pilate, you heard about that, Pilate's like, "How come you don't say anything?" Jesus doesn't say a word with regards to, you know, insert being to the abusive language that the soldiers and the other people use while he's on the cross. And what a powerful witness it seems that can be. Jesus, of course, knows best. You know, he could have said, "Well, I'm right and you're wrong." Probably wouldn't have been very effective. It probably was most effective, Jesus is God, he would know best, to say nothing. To say nothing. That was effective. And you kind of could think maybe that's why the revolutionary, at least one of them, converted. Right? He was abusing Jesus verbally. Jesus didn't say anything, you know. So sometimes, you know, this is the thing, when someone's attacking us, we can so often like want to fight back. We're not supposed to give ground. But sometimes, you know, we can fight back in ways that are not good. So to be effective in how we approach when someone's attacking us can be a powerful way that person can be moved by God's grace. That God's grace can move that person to the good. So it seems like in part that might, you know, what happened. The good thief is changed, converted. And he ends up, that day, Jesus said, "You will be with me in my kingdom." So I think another thing this points out is just, you know, how much Jesus loves us. You know, it doesn't matter what we've done. If we ask for forgiveness, just right before we die, like this good thief, he forgives us. You know, so we'll never lose hope. You know, the greatest sinner, if they ask for forgiveness, God is there. His mercy is overwhelming. You know, people commit suicide, horrible thing. But certainly we're called to pray for those persons. You know, pray. Because God's mercy, God's outside of time. So we pray for them and ask for God's mercy and grace. You know, even for those individuals. Never to lose hope. So this is God's mercy. It's just a powerful witness that Jesus shows us about his mercy and how much he loves us. He loves us. He wants all of us to come to him and come back to him if we're fallen away and strayed. Come back to him. To ask for forgiveness, to ask for mercy. He wants all of us to be with him in heaven. So on our part, we have to follow after Jesus. Deny ourselves, pick up our cross daily, and follow him.